All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call.
Questlove Supreme.
Yeah.
And we down south.
Yeah.
Cannot believe.
Yeah.
We got Fonte out the house.
Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call.
My name is Fonte.
Yeah.
I hope y'all miss me.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
But you feeling bitchy. Yeah.
Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema.
No. My name is Sugar.
No.
Atlanta's lit.
Yeah.
We doing roll calls.
Yeah.
Back to the shit.
Suprema roll call.
It's Laia.
Yeah.
And we back.
Yeah.
The Jackson ladies are here.
Yeah.
No.
Y'all ready for that?
No.
No. No, we not. Suprema.
No.
Suprema roll call. Make it up. Suprema. Suprema roll call.
My name is Keisha.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I had to say it.
Yeah.
My mama's roll call.
Suprema. Suprema roll call. You got this.
You got it, baby.
You got this. Suprema roll call.
Ain't no roll call.
Yeah.
Y'all just calling out my song.
Yeah.
Back to the shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roll
that's
call.
Right. Suprema. Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call. Suprema, Suprema roll call.
Wow.
Yes.
First time in
after,
3 years.
Yo,
we made it.
I'm saying this is. Okay.
Yeah.
We were, ladies and gentlemen, we were very nervous. Like, you should have seen us. It was like not even the first day of school, but.
Well, they're all going to see us on this.
Yes. Oh, God. They're literally seeing us right now.
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an episode, just a regular episode of Questlove Supreme.
Nothing.
Yeah, man.
Fonte, how did we get you out the house?
Man.
Is this the first time you left North Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh, look, are we special?
Even minus gigs or whatever?
Nah, we didn't play no gigs. We didn't
play
no gigs.
You've not been on a stage in two.
We did the first Little Brother show we did, it was in May. March.
In North Carolina?
Yeah, it was in North Carolina. It was an outdoor gig. We opened for Sylvanesso. But wow. That was it, man. I haven't been nowhere. I've been in the crib. I've been knocking on wood, you know,
congratulations.
Sliding, slipping and sliding. No COVID, no nothing. So I'm
congratulations.
Trying to keep my street going.
I know how we got him out the house.
How do we get him out the house?
It's an all expense paid trip somewhere.
And to meet Millie Jackson.
Meet
come
Millie.
On.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Like, yeah,
God,
yeah, yeah.
What?
Laia almost started crying the second she saw us because the way we hugged, it was almost like, nah, almost felt like it's Bill Sherman's funeral or something, like, because Bill's not here. I assume he's still at Sesame Street,
yeah,
which is
yeah,
why.
Still, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Fonte almost, I told him he almost busted a titty yesterday in our first hug. It felt so good.
Wow.
It was just so tight. It was good, though. I missed him. I missed Fonte. Ain't nothing like a Fonte hug. If you had one, you know out there. You know.
Nah, it really is good to see y'all, man. I really miss y'all.
Like, I got my Fonte hug.
Okay. Same. I got my Fonte hug. Yeah. Right. I got my publisher's clearinghouse thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I will say that we at Questlove Supreme definitely didn't want to go a third year without at least a Supreme roll call. So it was important that we all do this in person. And I guess we wanted to do this in grand fashion. So in case you're listening, we took a pilgrimage to the great state of Georgia.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be here doing
Welcome to Atlanta.
Many, many episodes that you'll hear probably the next 6 or 7 Questlove Supreme episodes will be based in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wait, I'm in Georgia?
Yeah, you're in Georgia right now. We're not in New York anymore.
Yeah, they don't let me out of Manhattan very much, so.
I see.
This is good.
Well, you know, without further ado, I'll say that we're really excited to have our special guest on the show. Wait, can we also just admit that we are now officially on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh, we kind of been doing a soft launch.
We've been doing this. No, well, I didn't realize until the Steve Rifkin episode that we had a YouTube page.
We went viral with Jennifer Lewis, yeah.
The Jennifer Lewis episode?
Yeah, it's on TikTok. It's on TikTok.
From people that don't even listen to. Yeah, we made it to the top on that one, bro.
Oh, we're legendary.
Oh, we on the top,
I mean,
baby.
Come on now. We ain't Millie Jackson, but we...
We're not Millie Jackson,
dude,
but we
if
are.
We're on the top, that means that, you know...
That's true.
Wow. Okay.
The kids know us.
Right. Now kids know us. Well, I'll say that I've been begging and hoping and wishing for this moment for the longest. And it was when we did said Steve Rifkin episode in which we reminded that his legendary father, Jules, had signed our guest today to the label. I don't know. Thoughts just started racing in my head because it's like I see Spring Records almost as the precursor of like a Def Jam simply because our guest today is truly the mother. She's the creator of rap. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, not to mention Jules Rifkin also signing James Brown, which damn near provided the landscape for every sample that we had on the label. Fatback's King Tim III, the official first rap release on a label. So Spring Records is super legendary. I didn't realize that until we did the Rifkin episode. And I will say our guest is definitely one of the first artists I've ever seen have a warning sticker. That was in my uncle, my dad's Don't Touch That part of the record collection, which instantly meant
I gotta hear it.
Right. The now first time I ever looked at him, put on, oh, what's she say? Oh my God, what's that? Yeah, that's this moment. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's such a legendary discography. I mean, name these, like, there's Caught Up, Still Caught Up, is even better, the sequel, aforementioned Feeling Bitchy, Hurt So Good, my favorite, Live and Uncensored.
Mm-hmm. Which
I think I first got sent to the principal's office for singing Fuck You.
Yes.
In the third grade. that's the first time I got sent to the principal's office back in third grade. Not to mention, we're going to talk about her legendary play productions and whatnot. You know, young man, older woman. You got to remind me about Florine on Martin also.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yes. That just hit me right now as we spoke.
I got a check last week.
Yes.
Ooh. Residuals. Come on with it.
$21.
There you go. Not to be outdone, because epigenetics is real.
Yes.
Her legendary daughter is also joining us right now. I've known about her since the late 80s, but, you know, she's done amazing work with, like, a lot of our favorites with name them, Badu, Whitney Brown, yeah. Houston, not to mention the legendary Outkast. She has history. She has legacy. You know, the Daughters of Legacy project that she's been a part of with Isaac Hayes's, like sort of the progeny of all the greats of Isaac Hayes's kids. Yeah. Yes. Of Al Goodman, right? Of The Moments and Ray Goodman Brown.
No, they don't sing.
No, they don't.
The kids don't sing at all.
So it's not, so you just.
No, so it's Isaac Hayes' daughter.
Right.
We had Ray Charles' daughter.
Right.
She's in and out sometimes. We have Ann
Betty Wright's.
Betty Wright's daughter.
Right, right.
Uh-huh. And we have Ruth Pointer's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Who is also Dennis Edwards' daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, snap.
We found that out with Bonnie. Uh-huh. Yeah, Bonnie, yeah. Bonnie let that one out the
bag. And we have Ann Nesby's daughter,
right.
Jamisa.
Oh, okay.
Sounds of Blackness. Yeah,
but not to mention, you've been hipping me to the your Yacht Rock review project,
yes.
Which I can't wait to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Questlove Supreme, the incomparable. Now I feel like Don Cornelius because you decided to say the incomparable. Millie Jackson, Keisha Jackson, to Questlove Supreme.
Thank y'all so much, man.
I will say that this episode probably started 45 minutes ago. We just started taping now.
Hell yeah, it did. It did.
Oh, man.
But if we have started taping before then, I'm certain that we'll insert stuff. So how are you ladies today?
I'm fine, thank you.
We were paying homage to you. You know.
Oh, that's why you were saying back mm-hmm. to the shit and feeling bitchy.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We got to let our audience that. Know who and, the queen is coming.
I wasn't ready.
And me either. And fuck you.
Yes, yes. Thank you, yes.
I bet you can't even spell it and you still saying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you spell fuck you?
Yes.
Spell it. Yo, hard way.
Spell it.
Give me a shot.
Good.
P-H-U-C-K.
You ain't finished.
Oh,
EU.
University.
Oh, you.
E, yeah.
U.
Dash U.
Oh, EU.
No,
just you.
Just you.
Just me?
P.
Fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Just you.
C K dash U.
Yes. That's how you spell it.
That hurt.
Yeah. No, it felt good to be cursed out by Millie Jackson.
For real.
Waiting
it's an
for
honor.
This all
no,
my life.
No, straight up.
I've been waiting for this all my life.
You just told me my mouth was dirty. I was like, word? I was
that's
getting
just so wild.
The movie
that's
was
wild.
Set.
All my life, that's what people say.
Really?
What? I want to meet your mom so she can cuss me out.
Right. Exactly. Our first question of the show is, can you two share your first musical memory?
Mine is her.
Oh,
really?
Talk about
yeah.
it. Talk
right,
about
well,
it. Talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Speak it, on this.
Yeah, my musical memory was her, but it's kind of hard to pin it down.
Wait a minute. Not to interrupt you, but were you allowed to go to shows when you were kids?
Absolutely.
She did background for the show. I beg your pardon.
What
no,
age?
But I mean,
what
as,
age?
Not as a
six,
kid, but no,
seven.
I was there. Like, nothing. Listen, we'll get into that later.
Okay.
If you want to.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. Definitely went to shows early on. Didn't really know what I was witnessing.
Right.
You know, and as I got older, I was like, oh, this shit ain't normal.
This is this not, what ain't normal?
This shit ain't normal. And it's really funny. And she does that because she knows that I typically don't cuss. I cuss, but I typically don't cuss in front of her.
Mm, okay. That makes sense.
So
the
it's like, even though
it,
I've been exposed
sense.
To it all my right. life, I just, it's a respect thing. And it's a, but every now and then. Listen, it flies out. It
Wait,
is what it is.
I want to take a poll. Are we cussing in front of our mamas yet?
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just started cussing in front of my mom. Like, yeah. Oh, you cussing your mom.
Not a lot.
Cuss her out.
Yeah, you allowed to do that.
The only thing you don't do is bitch. Like, I almost caught myself the other day. No, we not yeah, there. We not
not
there.
Even
my
in a complimentary
no,
way.
No,
like,
no compliment.
Like, you look good, mom. Like, bitch.
Same. I don't do the B word, and I don't throw F bombs.
Okay, gotcha.
Not even pH bombs.
Not when you know I'm listening.
Correct.
Right.
Because I remember you coming out the dressing room with the background singers one time and didn't know I was in the hallway.
Yes.
And I thought Millie Jackson had started doing background.
Yes. Yes. It goes down, though. So definitely
but
goes down.
You, I mean, surely you know that the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, so...
But, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what?
She was saying things to the other background singers because she was pissed off
mm-hmm.
that I haven't even said. She created new words that I had never heard. Now, she said.
Not possible.
And I'm going, what? What?
Not possible.
What? That, uh-huh. What?
Next generation curse.
And she came out and saw me and went.
Yeah. I would probably react that way today, though, if she saw me. In my real, you know.
Right.
So she was your first musical memory?
Yes. She was my first musical memory, but I don't have any specific memory like that comes to mind. It was just always music in the house. It was always the blues. It was always B.B. King, Bobby Bland. Like, so I remember going to those shows because she was on the shows a lot with B.B. and Bobby. Then it got into ZZ Hill.
I don't know why.
ZZ Hill, Denise LaSalle, like those were.
I don't know why.
The,
really? Was it? What, you didn't like
you performing? Didn't like the circuit?
We were with the same agency, you know, so I kept getting stuck in there.
So they kept putting her with blues artists.
A little bit more conservative.
Because they didn't know. They just didn't know where to put her. So my
Richard Pryor was still alive.
Yeah. You know.
You would have did a show. That would have been dope, though.
I did that once.
What?
Just and once.
How was it?
Not what I thought it would be.
Was his audience shocked?
No, he was.
What do you mean? Wow. Please break this down.
He met me on the elevator and looked at me like I was Satan number one.
Really?
I said, I just met your mother. He said,
he intimidated. He was intimidated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't around kind of black.
I did not want to work with him no more.
I get that.
Oh, man.
The irony of it is that, you know, I think, you know, back then it was the misogyny as well. Like, you know, it's okay
women weren't allowed to.
For me to speak like that, but, for a woman to speak
like that.
But
his mother was at his show. And I met his mother and she was nice and sweet. And
she
know,
had the brothel, right? So, like, she'd been.
Hello.
I mean,
you know, she was cool to me, but he wasn't.
That's. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You was her people, probably. She probably was like, that. I'm fucking with that.
Yeah, well, obviously, it. You know, I think in the case of being good for the goose and good for the gander, like, sure. Men are definitely territorial. And because even, if you remember when WAP came out, Snoop had, like, did his first almost op-ed on a lady shouldn't be saying that. I'm like, yo, didn't you make it? Ain't no
Doggy
fun.
Style. Right.
Like,
I mean, yeah.
Did I miss the memo? Well, since you're speaking of that time period, I always wanted to know, have you ever had any interaction whatsoever with Bette Davis?
No.
Okay, Bette Davis, the...
actress?
Not the actress.
Singer.
The ex-wife of Miles Davis, who...
She too wanted
to push the envelope, and like the NAACP kept
I don't
banning
remember
her
meeting her.
Okay.
I met Miles, and he was more like the other one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They wasn't ready for you.
Who were the... So were there any guys in the industry that, like, really were respectful and, like, really
besides
supported
Isaac
you?
Isaac Hayes?
Yeah, who were the people that really was in your corner?
Joe Simon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Label mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was one of the owners, actually, of Spring Records, and he was cool.
Fatback.
Then, yep, Fatback Band. But I think I only worked with them maybe once. But Joe Simon and I worked together quite often.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Our audience, they'll know Joe Simon from Drowning in the Sea of Love. They'll know that
yeah.
sample.
But
of,
he died about a year and a half ago.
He died
ago.
A year and a half. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
And he had, I sent him preaching.
What?
He, that's right. He did join the ministry.
Pastor, yeah. Yeah, he gave it up and went preaching. I used to laugh about that. I said, did I do that?
But for you, before you got your deal, like I know that, I guess your entry into this was writing poetry. So,
not really.
Really? So tell me about your being. Like, what was the moment where you were like, I have a God-given talent and I want to express this?
I owe my entire career and cussing and everything else to a very nice gentleman who I never heard curse in my life, Billy Nichols.
Okay, who is he?
Like Billy Nichols?
Billy Nichols. He had a band and a group came out afterwards. I'm trying to remember the name of his band. But he, you know, took me to Spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
What year was this?
1971.
Okay. What's up?
In fact, I did one song prior to that with MGM.
Okay.
A little bit of something's worth more than a whole lot of nothing now. And then it took me 2 years to learn how to cuss, and I went to Spring. Because MGM didn't.
Nah, they
didn't,
were super,
no,
yeah.
No.
But how do you learn? You said 2 years to learn how to cuss.
I already knew how.
When did you feel safe? Because the thing is that even though we're joking about it, it's very real because, you know, as I mentioned, when Bette Davis tried to do it. It was to the point where she couldn't do shows no more because they would actually have like bomb threats. And literally, like, she was a threat to people. So to be so unrestricted, like, what was the, for you, what was the turning point of?
All they had to do was see my live show and say, sign her. Because I was always cussing at the live show.
And club promoters, and they were fine with that, or?
Oh, yeah. They say adults only.
Okay.
So some people was upset when they came to see my show, so I had to really cuss them out, because since it said adults only, I guess they thought I was supposed to be getting undressed.
Okay. They thought it was like a...
Yeah, adults only. That's for the strippers. You see nothing here. And get cussed out if you ask to see something else.
Whole lot of legs.
Yeah, I gave them leg. Now I always had nice legs. No ass, but nice legs.
Okay. Legs are good. You're doing well. You're doing well for yourself. So when, in the studio at least, when you are doing your legendary raps, when we say legendary raps, you know, there's this, start streaming.
Sing the song, shut the hell up, and turn the mic on.
Really? So you would just do it live with the band right there? And
yeah. Whatever comes up came out. I mean, it was in my head. It always related to whatever the song was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just meant in terms of, you know, when you're structuring the song, is it...
You see the terrible thing about being in love with a married man?
Tell me.
Go in. Talk
That's
about it.
That's the first line.
I
was waiting for you to keep going.
But I'm saying, you know... I done finished singing. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be
right.
So right. Now, you see the terrible thing about being in love with a married man? The fact that you can't see him when you really want to. And on stage, you know, you see the terrible thing about being in love with a married man? You got to get fucked after he fucked his wife.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You.
So two versions.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
This is the greatest episode
show,
ever.
That's the show.
I'm saying, Keisha, it had to be fun. It just, I know it was a lie. It was, goddamn. Sometimes you just have
you
to.
You were nominated for a Grammy for that version of Loving You Is Wrong, I believe.
Why do you want to remind me? I didn't even want to be in the mic to say this.
I'm giving you your flowers.
Get it too.
I'm giving you your flowers.
Let's get into it.
Let's go. There's a story there. So
wait, there's a story?
A story there.
Nah, let's talk about it.
I don't know
Rather
the story.
Then nominate me for the Grammy.
Right.
They gave it to Aretha Franklin for a fucking song that was 2 years old.
What was this?
Ain't nothing like the real thing one, I think, that year.
2 years old.
It shouldn't have even been nominated.
Clive. Sorry.
No, it wasn't Clive. It was pre-Clive.
Okay, cool.
And Joe Wexler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny because there's a video on YouTube with David Bowie is introducing the award.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I remember.
A side-eye moment?
And he's high as hell.
Right.
Like, he was like, hello. And he's high and swaying and chill, cool as hell. And he's like, the nominees for best R&B singer, female, is, and it was like, it was Mom, it was, I think it was Thelma Houston, mm-hmm. I forget who the others were, and then it was Aretha Franklin. And so you see, as they're announcing the names, you know, everybody's just kind of poised, and she's got on this white outfit, white hat, and she's sitting there like, I mean, she knew that it wasn't going to go to her because they slipped Aretha in the category at the last minute. And her song wasn't even qualified because she hadn't put out a record in 2 years.
Wow.
The fix was in. Everybody knew. All the other ladies knew what was going down. So when it came time.
But how does that affect your relationship with Aretha? Because technically it wasn't her fault. That's her people, like, putting it in, you know, placing her in the right places.
I have no problem with Aretha, except for the fact that I was also booked by the same agency, and I wouldn't let her up the hallway one day. She was.
What does that? You wouldn't let her.
She was coming up the hallway, and I stepped in front of her, and she looked at me like, and stepped over, and I stepped over again. And I said, hello, Aretha.
Yeah, bitch, say you see me.
And she says, hi. I said, that's all. I just come up here every day after I get off from work, and I see you, and you won't speak. So I was determined that you was going to say hello to me today. You can go on about your fucking business.
Shit. Bitches be like,
boom.
I love it. Energy.
Yeah. I still had my day gig.
I love it.
So you were still working? You were still working like a regular job?
Yeah.
But what were you doing? What was your day job?
I was working in the garment district.
Okay.
Yes.
In New York City?
In New York City.
Okay.
Yes.
Doing what?
Yes, I was. And I worked from 9 to 5. And I'd get up to work and go up to Queens Booking Agency to see my agent every day, who also booked Aretha.
Wow.
In fact, they damn near booked everybody black. Mm. But the top of the list was Sammy Davis Jr., Dinah Washington. Mm-hmm. And when Dinah died, they stuck Aretha in there. Yeah. But it was Sammy Davis Jr., Dinah Washington, and jazz artist. What's her name? I can't think of her name.
That's all right. I'm curious. I'm like, were you priority in this list?
Oh, hell no.
That's what I was thinking. That's where
that's where the Aretha problem comes in. Because
so it's so many Aretha issues. Because they booked.
She was on their roster, and so she got the gigs, and she was pushed down.
The reason I ended up at Queens Booking Agency is Henry Nash was the tour manager for a show I did prior to him going to Queens Booking Agency. I was on tour with Elsie Cook, Sam Cook's brother.
Elsie.
And we toured for 2 years prior to him going to Queen Booking Agency and booking me.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, I didn't even have a record when I was out there.
And when singing with LC, was that gospel? Was that primarily gospel?
Hell no.
Word?
Gospel.
No. What was he? So what was LC? He wasn't a gospel singer.
No.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
No, he just never had a hit because of his brother. His brother just took away all his stardom.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had one.
I think he maybe had one album, but he had to do blues.
So, with you, when you were talking about them putting you in the blues category and lumping you with blues artists, where did you want to be? Did you feel like you were more soul R&B? Where did you want to be?
I talked a lot. Okay. I talked too much, so. I was like the female Isaac Hayes.
Mm. Yeah, the Ike's rap and all.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did those collaborations come about?
Me and Isaac?
Yeah.
We both ended up with the same record company, and they wanted me to do something with a man. I said, well, you got Isaac. He's close.
Okay. That's right. Isaac did sign a Polydor in 70. Yeah.
I was with Spring, who was distributed
through Polydor.
Jules Rifkin.
Yeah.
What was Jules Rifkin like?
Jules Rifkin was.
We're like hanging on to every word. Is this going to be good? Is this going to be bad?
No. Jules Rifkin was there because he was Roy Rifkin's brother.
Okay.
Roy Rifkin was the president. Julie was the vice president, but who actually took care of all of the music and had the ear was Bill Spitalski.
Wow.
Oh, didn't remember his name from Steve.
Yeah, no. Nah.
They all dead now. Rest in peace.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at Airbnb.com/host. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama to the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott, there's no limit to the range of NPR. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country they reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 1980s, Frank Farian was riding high as a successful German music producer, but he was bored.
German pop was formulaic, dull, and oh so white. Frank had bigger dreams, American dreams. He wanted to create the kind of music that would rival larger-than-life artists like Michael Jackson or Run DMC.
So he assembled a hip-hop duo, two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? One very important element was missing, but Frank knew just how to fix that.
Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's biggest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segui, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young Black artists.
Follow Blame It on the Fame wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, and this is the thing. Whenever we have either an act or an executive that was especially active in the 60s and 70s, you know, the question I always ask him is, I know that labels were mafia-run.
I don't think the Rifkins was in that.
No, they weren't. I know. But okay. It's like, how do you avoid running into them? That's the thing that amazed me about Jules Rifkins, the fact that, you know, in the days of Morris Levy and all of, you know, the mafia-run labels and whatnot, like, I've heard...
But Polydor was German.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is the beginning of the major labels establishing and taking out the smaller labels. How did you avoid... Because usually with, from what I know, is that if you have some sort of success or notoriety, then they're going to take you or jack you, or your manager winds up dead in an alleyway somewhere. Or...
I didn't have one of those. They would be killing...
You were self-managed?
They would be killing the prize.
Ah. So you managed yourself pretty much your whole
Never
career?
Never had a manager.
Entire career.
No.
Wow.
Wait, how does that happen?
How does that happen? You keep your day job.
So you never once... This is not the first time I've heard this, because...
You can tell somebody, go fuck yourself, I got a job.
No, you keep your autonomy.
And I'm
going to
get paid with or without you. Hey.
But how do you do the business? You still got to do the business representing yourself.
Did all of it.
Like, because you had a 9-to-5.
I majored in business.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
I need to know.
I majored in business.
This is interesting to me because I'm just finding out.
Makes so much sense.
That Bill Withers didn't even feel safe in leaving his airport job until Adjustments came out.
Wow.
So that means still Bill, Just As I Am, Carnegie Hall.
He was still working.
He was still had his day
job. He was in baggage?
He was an airplane.
Installed toilets in the airplane.
Okay. Wow.
So.
There's a picture of him with his toolbox.
So
the cover of the first album.
The cover of the last thing. He's actually on his lunch break with his actual.
Wow.
Like, I thought they manufactured that thing. Like, oh, you know, everyday guy, Bill Withers. No, he was like, this is my lunch break. Wow. Yeah. Take the photo.
So for you working, that was the way of keeping your autonomy. That was the way of owning yourself.
Yes. I worked down in the garment district and I got all of my uniforms for 20% off of the regular price. Mm-hmm. No, we don't deal with that.
Wholesale price.
Wholesale.
Oh, you got 20% off of wholesale?
Wholesale.
Ooh, yes. Man. I mean, nothing. This is Millie.
So that's where all your stage clothes came from.
Yes.
So you never said what
I
you
was
going
to say. That explains it.
So wait, you never said what your job was in the garment district. What was the gig?
I was assistant supervisor of shipping for Kimberly Knitwear.
Shipping, eh?
Yes.
Some power in that.
Wait, are you about to go get a job right now in the garment district?
just gotta find a shipper.
I'm just thinking about how she used that power.
There's like, no shame in that. You know, I've once had 19 jobs, and now I got 7. So, yeah.
And I stay working. I knew since I was in the garment district, I know where to go and get all the rhinestones and the shiny stuff to put on my Kimberly knitwear.
Oh, and they liked that you wore their shit, too.
No, they
did not like
they kept, that. Really? They didn't know anything about any of that. The point is, when I hit the stage, I looked like I was one of them people that was making a whole lot of money.
Yeah, perception.
Because I had my 20%
off wholesale. 20% off wholesale? Y'all don't understand.
And lots of rhinestones and beads that I sold on myself.
Keisha, when did you know that you said, you know, you were a kid, you just grew up around music, it's, you know, it's just normal. When did you know that it wasn't normal? When did you know that your mom was like, holy shit, my mom is like a star?
She didn't know it too. I sent her to college.
Well, so I kind of started to feel it. We moved from Brooklyn to Teaneck.
New Jersey.
Wait, time out. Wow. Where were you born and where were you born?
I was born in Thompson, Georgia, 129 miles north of here.
Of Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. And you?
I was born in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Kings County Hospital.
You rule one. Kings County, Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Michael Jordan.
She moved on her own, basically, from Georgia to New York.
Okay.
Wow.
And to Newark. Well, up north.
The people in Georgia didn't know no better. They, including me.
They thought it was all the same.
New York. She's gone to New York.
New York.
It took 2 years before I decided to go to the Apollo Theater and had to go through the Holland Tunnel. And I went,
Two years?
What did you do?
Yeah.
What is
Look,
this?
I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
I haven't been in New York for 2 years.
She had no idea.
Yeah. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I'm sorry, New Jersey. And while I'm at it, I'm also sorry, New Zealand. Like, I just sort of consider y'all
New York.
Like I consider New Zealand, Australia behind everyone's back, and they get mad at that.
Yes.
They don't play that shit.
Right. And New Jerseyans and whatnot. I actually think it's better to look at New York and live in New Jersey than to actually be.
Live in the city.
Okay, so everybody that was recording and working in New York, telling people they lived in New York, actually live across the George Washington Bridge in Teaneck and Inglewood.
Yeah, they
still do that.
And I'm gonna tell you the real reason why, because you got to keep your family based on where I live right now. I ain't trying to put people out there, but I definitely know that my apartment is side chick central.
Oh, that's a nice, that's a side chick building. Expensive.
I'm just saying, I see a lot of Lamborghinis and, you know, whatever.
And that's where?
I can't mention it.
Where Mir lives,
but
yes.
I will say that most people live.
Oh, you are in New York?
Mm-hmm. I live in Manhattan, yeah.
Okay.
I'll see a lot of sports figures in my building, like, they live here?
Nah.
And then I realize, okay.
But you Midtown, right?
Nah,
Don't try to narrow it down.
I'm about to give my address away.
Really?
Exactly.
He's trying to keep it low.
And guess what? I've said it before. I got one question.
When you leave
Jersey to go to New York, do you go through the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, or the George Washington Bridge?
Holland Tunnel.
Oh, you?
Stop.
Oh, what's it mean? I just want to know what it means.
Downtown New York.
I live.
George Washington Bridge, you at the top.
No. I don't live near George Washington.
That's because you're in Teaneck and 2 minutes away, you know, me.
Okay.
So you go across the George Washington Bridge. Ain't nobody go all the way downtown to go through the Lincoln Tunnel.
I live downtown.
She's just CSI.
My partner in the route. Oh.
She's going to expose all the people.
right.
Like me and the Isleys and everybody else that claimed they were in New York.
They famously Jersey Isleys, I feel like.
Isleys.
Teaneck,
that's what I am.
Ray Goodman and Brown.
Right.
Chuck Jackson. They were all neighbors in Teaneck.
Wow. Sissy Houston.
So when you moved to Jersey as a kid.
So when I moved, right, we moved from Brooklyn to Teaneck and I was 6. And so at that point, I knew, okay, we're moving on up. Like, I knew something was up, but, you just go. Like,
but you was going to the show. Well, no, you weren't going to the shows by that time. Well, you were.
Oh,
but
I was
But you didn't know what you were doing.
No, I didn't know. I was just there. And I wasn't paying attention to the shows. I'm in the back, probably playing with somebody else's kids. Right. Can't wait till the show is over, you know. And then, but it was when I went to.
She did not see me at the Apollo.
Which Apollo? Which Apollo show? Something you can feel, Apollo, where you're going around feeling?
What? No, I'm talking about the other Apollos when you were allowed to come to the show, but not to go out in the audience.
Oh, okay. Because I used to sell the roses with the lights in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I, and pictures.
Y'all was hustling.
What you talking about?
She said she majored in business.
But this was before.
I'm talking about your mama.
I had nothing to do with
that. She had nothing to do with that.
Oh.
No, I was just like, that was my way of, I kind of hustled my way to get on the road.
That's dope.
So I stayed in the lobbies during the show selling the lighted roses. And then they always wanted to buy from Millie's daughter.
Oh, cause they
so
knew
we
it.
Had several
I mean,
people.
They can look and see.
Oh yeah, but no, I told them because I wanted the money. You know, I was like, well, you know, I gotta hurry up because my mother's getting ready to come up. That's your mom? Yes, ma'am. How many roses do you want? You know, so that's what I would do to just kind of cassette tapes, pictures, and
bootlegging too.
Lit roses. Yeah.
Damn.
So was it just y'all? Was like, well, where was your dad? Was he in the picture this time?
He wasn't in the picture.
It was just y'all.
You were adamant on that.
No, I can say that again. Nope.
No, he wasn't.
I did
around.
Not say no.
No, you did not.
So it was.
Nope.
So it was y'all two, and you're working in the garment district, and you had were you born by this time? Was this all at the same time?
When you were having your 9 and 5.
Oh, garment district. No, that was before me.
Oh, that was before you. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, because I was trying to see, like, were you taking care of a kid, working, doing? No. I was like, man. Okay, gotcha.
What I do want to know is, in your day job, did they know you were legendary Millie Jackson?
No.
Wow. How?
I wasn't that.
I was going to say, were you legendary
at that time? I stayed there 71.
Okay.
And I had a little bit of something worth more than a whole lot of nothing. Then that was my first song,
right.
Clean, not a curse word in it. Then in 71, Joe Simon put me on A Child of God Is Hard to Believe.
Mm-hmm. That is.
It's called A Child of God. And in parenthesis, it said it's hard to believe.
Okay.
And Joe Simon was promoting this song and the album. Mm-hmm. And they were telling him off and he had to go crazy. The DJs were saying, mad at him because they thought they was playing
on
gospel station.
Right.
Oh,
a child of God.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Joke on.
And when the record first came out, you know, but after they finally got it, and they heard, you see the terrible thing about going with a married man.
them church people was like, say what now?
Yes.
So they thought the gospel artist had turned.
Yes, and Joe Simon is saying, is it my fault you didn't read the title of the song?
Or listen to the song before you played
it. Right.
It's hard to believe. It's in parenthesis under A Child of God.
Yeah. That's still one of my favorite songs, though, just because of the...
I know some people who go to church on Sunday. Them that same people will watch a lynching on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Talk about justice and being free. But they'll watch a lynching so easily. Yes, it's hard to believe they're a child of God.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That song is serious.
Some people call these people children of God.
Mm-mm. So glad we sitting here with you.
No, this is amazing.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, so you mentioned.
Excuse me, y'all didn't have to get quiet then.
No,
you were singing.
We were
singing.
We used to take folks
to church and tell
talking,
them. Expect
we
listen.
I was just doing a little.
You went to Jive Records in 85. Wild Hot Unrestricted was in 1985 or 86, I believe.
I put them out of business because they had time to sign a new contract, and I asked for so much money, Spring couldn't pay it, and they closed the doors.
Right. Mm. And then Barry signed you to Jive.
Yes.
Is that how you know the beer is different in the UK?
Yes.
That's why I didn't want to ask you. When did Battery Studios get built? Because every artist that was on Jive Records
in London
would have to fly to London to record their stuff.
I only did it once.
Okay. And that was for that album?
Then I start cussing.
Well, wait. So what was the decision? I'm not saying your comeback, but Hot, Wild, Unrestricted, Crazy Love wasn't, you know, that was your mainstream offering without the spice.
Yeah.
First of all, whose suggestion was that? And how long was it before you decided to go back to the shit?
Actually, Hot, Wild, Unrestricted, Crazy Love was done by
Timmy Allen.
Two writers that they already had signed. They was
Staff writers.
Staff writers.
Okay,
Yeah.
I see. And you recorded that album in the UK?
Not the whole album, no.
Or just
a couple of songs.
Okay. What was that experience like?
Because
recording over there?
They were, that's where the company was.
Okay.
I was over there for 2 days and back home.
Okay, I was about to ask, what was your experience?
Quick. Okay. Oh, that was 2 days. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Didn't love London?
Everyone else was like doing months
there. You know, I was the producer, so after that, so.
Wow.
I don't go in the studio till I know what I'm getting ready to do.
I see.
I love it.
And most of the songs was written by me, so I knew what I was gonna do.
Wait, you were write live in the studio?
No,
it was never demoed ahead of time, or
when I was the producer,
right?
I would do the track off the top of my head because I already got the words, I already wrote the song,
okay.
And then I'd go back and do it again, the vocals again, because I said a word there. Kind of off. I think I should do that over. But you do that when you produce.
When you say do the track, would you like dictate? Do you actually play instruments, or would you
dictate the ideas to other
musicians?
Nope.
How would you do it?
I ain't doing no instruments. Nope. I play keyboards to write the song, and then I ain't playing on it no more. This is the song. I play the keyboard on Child of God, and then he come see what I'm doing, and he do what I'm doing and do it better than me, because I can write four songs while I'm playing the keyboards on one song.
I have a question. I want you to talk about, there's a song of yours called Give It Up, in which you're advocating.
You're going to hell.
Wait a minute.
That's not a song title.
Why?
No.
You're going to hell. I was just saying.
You're not supposed to use the Lord's name in vain.
Ain't that something? Now, I had to say that to her before, because she heard me say goddamn, and she was like, don't cut. I was like, you made a whole record.
Give it up, goddamn. Give it up right now. Give it up.
Look, I'm just recapitulating your entire career.
And it's right. Enough on.
No, but I mean, at the time, it was envelope pushing, because people weren't thinking about rights for women or rights for the LGBTQ. They weren't even identified back
right.
then. But what made you, like, was that your demographics? Like, who was in 79? Like, I really became familiar with you when my aunt used to always play Live and Unrestricted. So that was when I realized, like, oh, my dad got Millie Jackson records. Then I go back and see them at the bottom of the pile or whatever. But who was coming to the shows? Because even at those shows, the audience is almost louder than you are. So it's like, who was your audience at that time?
Mm-hmm. Let me say something.
Yes.
I remember.
I wasn't in the audience.
I distinctly remember. I distinctly remember her being on phone multiple times talking to potential promoters, people booking shows. And she would say, when is it? the 29th, that's the last week of the month. People that come to my shows don't have no money. So it was welfare recipients. It was people that she knew. They knew when that check came.
She knew her audience. She knew her audience. The first and 15th.
She did not play. She did not play around with that. Genius. And there were times that she would say, I'm not doing the gig. And it didn't matter what money they were offering. She was like, it don't matter because ain't no people going to be there. And she knew that
you
when it came time.
You do not work week of the 23rd.
She knew that. I'm not going to go because I'm not going to get my money at the end of the night because you're going to come to me crying about how the people didn't show up.
People didn't pay. Yeah.
So she never, I remember that.
Wow.
That's what she there for.
I never thought of that. I never knew that one could be that strategic with their career.
I mean, all the time.
I mean, it's too late for me now. I'm like 30 years into mine. But I'm like, wait, how come I never like thought of that?
Yeah. I told you I'm the manager.
How did you balance all that? How did you balance between the management and the music? Like, how did you balance it?
I always thought that managers was overpaid for doing something that they had to tell you to do when you already know what you want to do. Why do I need you to tell me to do this gig? I know if I want to do this gig or not.
See, Prince,
and they have
too.
To bring it to her to finalize it anyway.
To sign
so
off,
she's
yeah.
like, if you got to bring it to me to say yes, then I may as well just do it.
But right. we never expounded on your background when it came to business, though, because you said you went to college, you majored in business.
Didn't go to college.
Wait.
She went to college.
Didn't go to college.
So wait. I thought you said you majored in business, but no.
I did.
In night school.
Okay. So what? So tell me about that then. So you went to night school to finish your...
I got out of high school.
Yeah.
Because my biology teacher sucked. And
I hope you mean they were horrible.
I do.
Smelly Jackson.
She was horrible. Never know.
This is a Millie Jackson story.
She said to me one day, we were getting, you do A and B classes. Mm-hmm. The first year you do this and then you go to B of the same class. And our B was a real teacher in biology. Mm. And I knew I was going to fail B, and I've been on the honor roll. And this old bitch in A would stand up in there and talk all day long. And one day, I just got pissed, and I stood up. I had held my hand up, and she would not acknowledge my hand for 15 minutes. And finally, I stood up, and I informed her. I said, look, I have biology, too. Next term, mm-hmm. Mr. Sampson, don't play, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to tell me this bullshit about when you were in the Army? I don't give a damn about you being in the Army.
Teach me biology.
I want to know biology.
Right.
So are you going to answer my question I've been trying to ask you about biology or not?
F.
She's right there now in this moment. She's right back
and
there.
She sent me to the principal.
He's standing right here.
Right,
so
right.
This passion been in you. Ain't nothing changed.
She sent me to the principal.
Okay.
And Mr. Landoffi said, do you remember his
name?
Remember
the name still, right?
Mr. Landoffi.
What did you get last semester? And I told him, I'm still on honor roll. He says, well, you're not going to fail the subject because it was the last semester of the term, And he say, what other subject would you like to take? He goes, send me to somewhere else so I don't have to go back to her class no more because if she give me an F for the last, I'm already passed.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mr. Lando.
That's dope.
So.
Yes.
You took business.
Yes. Okay. I says, I don't need biology. I don't need to know what's going on here and there with a frog and a dog and a whatever. I want bookkeeping.
All right, so there you have it, folks. That's all for part one of Questlove Supreme with the one and only Millie Jackson and Keisha Jackson. Come back for part two where Millie sings one of her latest songs and Keisha talks about working with Outkast. And they share an incredible mother-daughter story that it has to be heard to be believed. All right, see y'all next week. Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.